We were recording now. Yeah, being recorded.
I was gonna wait a minute. I'll call the order of the meeting of this Board of Civil Authority of the Town of Stratton, 6:58 PM.
Okay, I'll read the warning. The pursuant to the provisions of 32 VSA 4404B, notice is hereby given that the Stratton Board of Civil Authority will, on the dates listed below, which is August 27, 2025, meet tonight at 9 West Jamaica Road, the town office in said town, to hear appeals of persons aggrieved by the actions of the Stratton Board of Listers. Hearings will continue as scheduled until all aggrieved parties are heard. So we've got about 10 minutes or so before we move into your hearing. Unless everybody agrees to do it earlier, but whatever you thought.
Yeah, I don't see why we wouldn't start.
No, why don't we just go?
Okay.
Do you have any? If nobody objects to going early.
No.
So first on the docket we have, where'd it go, Tim? Great River Hydro. So I'll ask the appellates and then the listers to take this oath. So under the pains and penalties of perjury, do you solemnly swear that the evidence you give in the cause under consideration shall be the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
I'm sorry, your last name?
Barrett.
Barrett, thank you.
And the Board of Listers.
Board of Listers?
Yes.
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 Thank you. Did you guys receive a copy of the rules of procedure for this?
We did.
Do you have any questions about how this will proceed?
No.
Does anybody have any conflicts of interest with this appellate? Do you guys, the appellant, Red River Hydro, have any evidence, written evidence you brought with you?
Yes, which was submitted to the town clerk also.
Okay. Do you have copies for us?
No, I only got one copy.
We've got a copy.
Can we read it for the record?
Sure.
You can read it.
Sure.
So the property that we own in Stratton is around the Somerset Reservoir, and it's property around the reservoir and inundated by the reservoir. And the town of Stratton has valued that parcel at $1,621,000, a 33% increase from the previous value of $1,084,000. And the appeal questions the fair market value that the property was established by the town. We understand that the town was required by the state of Vermont to put this value on the property per a 2010 appraisal report that was performed for the state of Vermont by Mr. Sansusi. The parcel, which consists of 1,140 acres, is perpetually protected by a conservation easement held by the Vermont Land Trust. This conservation easement is a permanent deeded restriction that strictly limits future development of the property while allowing for continued use in accordance with our FERC license, associated settlement agreements, and various management plans, including forest management and recreation uses. We note that these resources provide value to the town of Stratton and its local economy at no direct cost. This property, thank you, is similar to property that we own in Wilmington, Vermont. I read this same argument in Wilmington last year because of the similarities of the property. I'm using the same argument today. The highest and best use of this property is undevelopable conservation easement protected property. And when the value of a property is determined, it is defined as the price a property will bring in the market being offered for sale and purchased by another, taking into consideration all the elements of the availability of the property, its use, both potential and prospective. with a conservation easement. It's heavily restricted on what can happen with this property. I looked for comparable land sales of similar characteristics to this property and found various parcels, which are listed on the page in the back. The characteristics had to be large acreage because of the size of the property that we own. As an example, one that I found was 7,965 acres located in Pittsburgh, New Hampshire, that is protected by a similar conservation easement and sold for $7.2 million or $904 an acre. This is 5% lower than the previous valuation, which was at $950 per acre, and 36% lower than that of the current assessment. These 10 comparable large acreage timber sales that are attached have five that are protected by conservation easements, and parcels with these conservation easements yield an average of $950 per acre. Parcels without conservation easements yielded an average of $1,492 per acre. All of these are compared to the $203 per acre of similar land that is valued under Vermont's current use. Taking all of these factors and comparable transactions that are very current in comparison to this 2010 appraisal that the state of Vermont is requiring be used makes the company's opinion of value remain the same value as it was before, because using this $904 per acre is coming in at the same value as, or approximately the same value that was on the property before. Great River Hydro maintains its right to modify its opinion of value as new information becomes available, but we hope to be able to resolve this issue with you.
Thank you. Does anybody want copies?
Yes.
My packet has.
You have copies for all of us? Yes. Okay.
Yeah, this letter in there.
Yeah, with the, with the properties on the back. Yeah.
We'll save the save the paper.
That's good.
Would the listers introduce the property on appeal and its present valuation?
Great River Hydro LLC, parcel ID 1400002. I have it listed as 1,140 acres with a value of $1,084,100. It's 1,621,000.
The next step is the appellant will present their valuation and supporting testimony. You guys sort of already did that. Mm-hmm. The listers to respond to the information provided by the appellant and your supporting evidence for the valuation.
Our supporting evidence for the valuation is that's the number the state told us to use. Most of the time you use what they're telling you to use. It's like they said, it was an assessment done by
San Susi.
Yes. Quite a while ago.
In 2010.
But if we don't use what the state says, I'm not sure how the whole thing works out. But Kent can probably explain how it works better than I could, if he's allowed. No. They will, the state will use the value they want us to use, not the value that they get, that Great River Hydro gives us.
Yeah, I'll explain. Basically, my understanding is that if the state, if we were not to use the San Suki assessment, then the state would use that by throwing the, basically using that similar to a sale in the three-year study compared to what the assessed value is. So basically, in our three-year study, they would throw in the Sansuki assessment to the sales and our assessment to the current assessments, which is a cumulative calculation they do to provide the CLA for the town. So anyway, that's just basically what's going on with that.
At this time, would you guys, Great River Hydro, like to respond to the evidence the listeners are doing? Does anyone on the board have any questions?
Just a couple of things. So the Sansuki assessment was done in 2012. Is that sometime in there?
2012.
Do they adjust that year to year? Has that been standard since 2012?
That is what they're using the same number from 2000.
Okay, so basically this is the same assessment that was in place in 2012.
Continuing
through to the present.
And our understanding is that many towns did not adopt those assessments in 2012, and this is the year that the state is enforcing that. For this property specifically, the market sales really support what's happening now versus what happened 15 years ago. So that's why we think that these comparable transactions are more in line with what we are seeing in the market for these large parcel transactions at this time.
Okay. Another question. How many towns approximately are you contesting for the Sansuki?
This town is land and there's inundated land. Other towns that we are contesting have flowage easements, which is what the state is really dictating. Where our power plants are, those get revalued every 5 years. So I can't say that there's another town that we are contesting just land and inundated land. We did last year in Wilmington, and they heard our argument and agreed with our argument, where other places that we're contesting are more flowage easements.
So we have to appoint an inspection committee to go out and visit this property.
Good luck with that.
No, we're obliged to, so we're to meet.
You don't have a boat for us?
I can meet you at Grout Pond. We can walk in.
That's kind of what my thought was, is at some point down.
It's
going to look like the woods wherever.
We're legally obligated to step foot on the property and inspect.
So we
are going to do that. At the end of this meeting, we are going to, after the slots for our two other appellants, mm-hmm. we are going to adjourn to a meeting probably on the following Wednesday when we will set our schedule for those site visits.
Okay.
So who should we reach out?
Well,
Matt?
Reach out to her.
Okay.
But I'll probably be doing the site visit.
Okay. Okay. All right.
I don't know if it's necessary that they actually attend it with us, if we wanted to do it separate. But
yeah.
We'll be in contact and let you know what we just decided to do with that.
My suggestion is Vermont Parcel Viewer.
Right.
And look at it that way.
Right.
Yeah.
I
understand.
It's a statute.
Part of the entire process is that we physically have to...
Physically inspect.
Inspect. Now, are we walking all 1,000-plus acres? No. But we need to physically inspect the property. So we're going to go and step foot on it and walk around.
Okay. I'm wondering where the best plot to do that would be.
Grout Pond, like you said. We'll walk right down the south.
And just walk in the Grout Pond Trail. And
yeah.
After you cross a couple of National Forest bridges, you come to the top end of Somerset Reservoir. There we are.
Yep.
So how many miles are we looking at?
So,
It's probably, what did I figure? It was like a mile and something in.
Oh, okay.
We only need a 3-person site committee.
20-minute walk.
It's not a big deal. And my thoughts on this is that we'll just let you know what our plans are after next date we set our meeting.
You're welcome to meet us there.
Yeah.
You're not required to. Generally, you know, we're visiting a physical property and we need to be letting it out or something like that.
Well, I'm just going to let you have at a walk in the woods.
If you want to come, you know, I mean, maybe you can expense the bug bill.
We can't discuss it with you anyway if you do come.
Right.
Yeah.
So. That's a maple. And that's a birch.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for coming. We will be in touch.
Sounds great. Thank you very much.
Thank you
for your time. I'll leave a couple of cards if anybody.
Thank you.
Call me. Thank you.
Have a good evening.
And I'm retiring in 6 months, so my cards expire.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
See you.
Have a good night.
Good night.
You need to wait until 7:30 for the
send. Yeah, my hiking boots and my hiking sticks.
You don't have to go.
The mile's not bad.
We should have asked him.
Today.
I wasn't out in.
To that corner. That corner.
The last time I was on that trail.
We want to shut this off.
This is just logistical. The last time I was on that trail, Otto had shoved a couple of huge piles of logs in the middle of the trail.
No, not at the bottom of Grout Pond, and then...
From the bottom of Grout Pond, I'm coming from Deerfield. Yeah, you're right, yep.
But it's not a flat trail either.
It's not a bad hike out there.
No, we rode that trail to take a guy off of it. Reservoir 2 years ago. That's not bad. It's not flat. It's a downhill going in.
Went out two times fishing. And the Tudor Dam.
Yeah, that poor guy. He hit a stump at about 9 o'clock at night in the middle of something, Lake Whiting Dam.
Yeah.
And his buddy left to go get him help, and this guy sat in the middle of the dark on that lake. Pitch black to win the star in the sky for like an hour before we got there.
So does everyone think that, say, next Wednesday would be a good time to meet again to discuss site visits and such? Everybody does not have to attend.
At this point, I have a conflict for Wednesday.
The third. No, it should be in the evening, right?
Probably 7 o'clock.
Yeah. You don't necessarily have to attend if you want to make the site visit. But
okay, we can still do that. Okay.
As far as the inspection of that goes, to satisfy the statute, we essentially need to stand on the property.
And then just a general view of it and an idea of what we're dealing with.
Hope this entry looks like that. We'll have a
look. It's all shoreline.
Is it possible to see the Wilmington results or anything, or does it matter?
This is like any other.
What's that?
It's possible to see the Wilmington.
Changed in your life.
Extreme.
If you wanted to look at that, you can, it's all public information. You can go on to their website, I would imagine. Look at their UCA hearings from last year or contact them about that.
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
So we'll probably, I mean, really the discussion that we have on the, we could discuss a little bit now, but I think what we need to do is wait until after the site visit and then during deliberations, discuss the whole process of how to deal with this one.
But there was one that was in the front and it was stuck up, and they say that if you don't pull them, you get the mouse that they can travel with.
Some of the states dictating what we
right.
But they said they challenged it other places.
They weren't going to try it. They put a muzzler because of the group. And,
right, I don't know how far they've gone.
They couldn't find it.
Right.
I mean, we did have.
In their cases,
it seems to me, didn't we have this issue with
so we spent all that
the previous owner about it was also with the same suit.
Right.
And then two things. One,
she cries for.
As you mentioned, there are different ways to value it depending on whether it's a plant and the property,
right,
whether it's flowage easements or whether it's just land inundated. Yeah. But Brian Fogg has the contract with the state to update the Sans Souci stuff. Because I know he's been the state's expert witness in towns I've represented where it's gone to court. So he would most. My guess is it would be Brian Fogg, not George Sanssouci, if it goes through.
Yeah. Well, one thing I'm curious is, was it actually considered or designated conservation land at the time the Sanssouci assessment was?
I believe so, yeah. Yes. Yep.
And is there an end date on conservation?
Mm-hmm.
Is there an end date on that?
Yeah, that's the other thing. Is, I mean, land values are
not all over the place. Not unless you take it out.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't end. It doesn't have a time frame. You can remove it from conservation.
And here's another question that I just don't know. It's a 33% increase over the last the previous value. When was that previous value? Was that the
2023? Oh, no. When
was they said this previous value, but they don't say when the previous time was.
I think they're talking about the fact that last year the listers left it at what the town assessor had assessed it for, 23 for a reappraisal. And then this year they were directed by the state that they had to bring it up or face that CLA consequence that we were talking about. And I think that's when it increased. And that would be in the listing or in their submittal. Exhibiting. coordinator. What's that?
Is she the property tax coordinator?
Just curious what her role was.
With Borough Mass. Phone again in New Hampshire, 633.
You're carrying my phone number. I mean, I have friends who have Hawaii numbers, and I've lived in Hawaii in 20 years, so I've never heard of them.
Jason's not a digital too.
Here's some lines.
Yeah, I got this one.
This is for the next one.
Yeah, Jason.
Did you?
I got one. Candy, I'm ready. I got, she gave me one already.
Oh, that's great, huh? This is for the next one.
This one right here.
Oh, okay, that's.
I think I've got it.
That is the Lister's exhibit.
Oh, okay, yeah.
We could also have a lure of hiking in from the pond, just drive down 71 and go up to the dam.
Yeah, but that's Somerset. I guess if you want a car.
Come right up over our hill, but because when you get down to the reservoir, it's actually Somerset there.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. But then, how far up does it go? Where's the line, right?
Yeah, there was a map there, it's more than that.
No.
Right, it's just the very, it's just the very tip of it, yeah.
I think it's just below Tudor Dam.
Right, that's right, yeah, that's right.
Exactly, too.
Camp last night, hiked down, loons were out.
I'm just gonna slide that to you. Take it.
That's Karen, we video the Lister's on. This is the Lister's.
Yep.
That's the Lister's.
Help.
Take one, pass one, I guess.
Is that the one, what did you just give us?
The one I passed around is from Sinman, and the one that the Lister's pass around is their Lister's.
So this is the appellant's evidence. This is the Lister's evidence.
The Lister's has a big black clip on top.
Kent, maybe I will take one, since I have the Lister's, I might as well take the other.
Okay.
This is extra. Is that extra?
Yeah, it's a more, yeah. Long one?
No, I have it.
So the next appellant is Mona Zinman, Revocable Trust. Appears no one is present for the appellant. So we will start by asking the Board of Listers to take. Yes, we are. The following oath. Under the pains and penalties of perjury, do you solemnly swear that the evidence you give in the cause under consideration shall be the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Again, the appellant is not present, so we will ask the listeners to introduce the property on appeal by describing the property and its present valuation.
The property is Mona Zinman Revocable Trust, parcel ID 03302012.00003B, 3 Mountain Reach Mews. And the assessment is
$3,385,000. We have the listers' evidence that they've submitted. Again, we will... And we also have the evidence submitted by the Zinman. Again, we will adjourn to another date and time to set our site visit.
Mm-hmm. If we read through this.
We'll read it in.
I can read it in, and then the listeners can respond to it. Does that sound?
Sure. Sure. If the clerk wants to read in the Zinman evidence.
Okay. I'll read aloud the Zinman's letter, Mrs. Zinman's letter. So with reference to the above, her property, I am appealing the denial of my grievance to adjust the appraised value of my home. In reading the rules procedure, it states DCA must be persuaded that the totality of the evidence presented favors the appellant's position that the lister's valuation of their property is incorrect. That is exactly my position. The denial letter states the reason for the denial as our comps are in line with assessment. I requested the comps used, and I was told it was based on 2 units, one sold in January 24, the other in October 24. Both of those units are substantially bigger than mine. Number one is 4,091 square feet, and number 15 is 3,422 square feet. The average per square foot for number one is $855, applied to my house of 2,933 square feet, converted to an appraised value of $2,507,000. The average per square foot for number 15 is 1,081, applied to my house of 2,933 square feet, converts to an appraised value of $3,170,057. By just this measure alone, my home is overvalued. However, the listers totally disregarded the price per square foot of number 16, which sold this year in April of 25, which sold at an average square foot of 736, applied to my home, converts to an appraised value of $2,261,343. Unit number 16 is attached to number 15. Why is the value of number 16, which sold the most recently in the same development, is not used at all to appraise my unit, even though it is the most recent sale of a unit most closely matching to mine? At the very least, the square foot calculation should be a weighted average with the most recent sale and the most similar home considered. In addition, the appraisal that I submitted was totally disregarded, even though their comps are more applicable than the two that were cherry-picked. I have enclosed a copy of the appraisal report. I respectfully state that I have met the burden proving that the listers incorrectly listed the value of my property. The valuation presented in my outside appraisal, which used a larger sampling than just 2 more larger units sold a year plus ago, should be considered as correct. Just one comment: in speaking to a number of local people who know Stratton real estate markets, attorneys, brokers, and owners, I was told presenting to this board is a waste of time, since no matter what the evidence, you will just rubber stamp the listed decision, and I will be forced to appeal to the state for a fair hearing. I hope the evidence I provided them wrong.
Sounds like moment.
Yeah, the recording's
should be.
With that read in, would the listeners like to respond?
Yeah, I would like to talk about the items that she brought up in her personal evaluation. So I'll bring up 16. The reason why we did not include that is within the community of Mountain Reach, there are ski-on, ski-off properties where you can literally ski right into the property, and then there's properties, condos in that community that you're going to need to walk to. That changes the valuation of a property significantly. 16 is one of those that you need to walk to. It's not a true ski-on, ski-off house, where 15 and 1 are true ski-in, ski-off. So that increases the valuation in our opinion. And we did use those two comps to evaluate where we think the market would bear for her property, just straight off of where we see the comps today. And we think it's in line. One was for 3.7 and one was for 3.5, so above what the town has assessed at. We also looked at her original building permits, which were filed with the town, and the builder's estimate and subcontractor's estimate was an equivalent of $1.3 million. So she purchased it for $2 million in 2022. If you were just to add that 1.3 that the builders anticipated their cost being, and the permits were filed with the town, we come to 3.3. So with those four items in mind, we determined that the Vision's assessment of the current evaluation of 3.385 was in line with market and comps to support it.
And we might have a few errors on the lister's card where there's a difference between what's there and what we have.
You're referring to size and bedroom count?
Yes.
And you...
Fire away, Ken.
Just one thing to consider. I know, so adding the cost of the remodeling, just adding that on top of what the previous assessment was, I would think that when you do a remodeling, you're taking something out and, you know, replacing it with others. So it's not really just a layer cake, you know, one new layer on top of the other. Can you respond to that?
I'm still confident with the level of renovation that was put into this property. If it were to go on the market for sale, it would be at this price or above.
And to add to that, we didn't take the assessment and add the builder's estimates to it. We took
her
what
price.
She paid for it and added onto that, and that just came up with a roundabout figure just to look at, just for
okay.
Does anybody from the board have any questions for the listeners? It appears that this is a ski-on, ski-off property.
It is.
I see a gap in my procedure. And I apologize. Does anybody on the board have a conflict of interest with this property? No. No conflicts. Thank you. All right, so we will, at our organizational meeting, most likely Wednesday the 3rd, we will arrange a visit to this property. So we think we have the attorney for Skyfall at 7.
Yeah, so we basically end this hearing. Attorney Safar said she would call about in another 5 minutes or so just to make sure that
okay.
she's connected.
Okay. Where is the Lister's? It's the same thing for Gregor Reiner, like from the Lister's and
Stratton Town Office. This is Kent. Hello. Yeah. So we're just finishing up one hearing, and then if I can put you on hold, I think we can even move into this maybe just a little bit in advance if you're willing to do that. Okay. All right. Well, let me put you on hold, and then I'll discuss it with the board as far as moving it forward, if that's all right. Okay. 1 second then.
So you have the attorney for Skyfall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All set.
Let's do it.
Okay. Okay, so I'm going to put you on speakerphone, and then we can just proceed right into the hearing if you're okay with that. Okay, then 1 second, and I'll see if it works here. Can you hear me? Are you there?
Yep, I can hear you.
Okay.
Can you turn that up at all, Jim?
No. I think that's as loud as it goes.
Okay. Hello, how are you this evening?
Good evening, thank you. I'm well, thank you.
My name is Boomer Walker. I'm the chairman of the Board of Civil Authority. Your name, for the record?
And I am from the law firm of Monahan Safar in Burlington, Vermont, and I represent Skyfall Development Corporation.
Do you mind spelling your last name?
Sure. It's S like Sam, A like Apple, F like Foxtrot, A like Alpha, R like Romeo.
Thank you very much. Just didn't hear you too clearly. So, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you just fine.
Excellent. So, I will now read the oath, and then if you could affirm that oath, and then the Listers will affirm said oath as well. Under the pains and penalties of perjury, do you solemnly swear that the evidence you give in the cause under consideration shall be the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Well, I do, but just as a point of clarity, attorneys are not to be sworn in during municipal hearings.
You're correct.
So, attorneys are not here to testify. I just want to make that very clear. I am not providing testimony. I am providing legal argument. We have submitted an exhibit into evidence, but I am not here as a fact witness. I am here
Understood.
As an advocate for my client. So it's very clear that in municipal hearings, attorneys are not to be sworn in.
Understood.
And I say that as a point of clarity. My firm is primarily a municipal law firm. We represent over 35 municipalities.
Mrs.
We understand that. It was our mistake.
We understand. My apologies. So I'm just
No worries. No worries. It's a common mistake that folks make.
Thank you. Would the Listers respond to the oath, please?
We do.
I do.
Thank you. Attorney Safar, did you or your client receive a copy of the rules of procedure? And do you have any questions about how this hearing will proceed?
Well, I did happen to find the rules of procedure. I can't recall when or how I received them, but I did have a copy of them somewhere in my file. I don't have my hands on them right this second, but I do have them in my file, yes.
Yeah, I did send out copies to all the appellants, and I believe Skyfall Development got a copy as well. So,
do you have any questions?
I do not.
Okay, thank you.
No.
Does anyone have any conflicts of interest with this party?
No.
I, Boomer Walker, do have a conflict, so I'm going to remain as chair, but I will not be involved in site visits or the deliberation on this property. Does anybody object to that? Do we have written evidence from the appellant?
Yes, I did print out a copy that was sent over from Attorney Spahr's office, and I have just passed that around to all of the BCA members.
Would the listers please introduce the property on appeal?
The property belongs to Skyfall Development, LLC, parcel ID 08-00039.8 and 08-00039.7, 23 Gold Medal Circle, 5.5 acres, assessed at $3,592,400.
Attorney Safar, do you want to speak to your evaluation and supporting testimony?
Yeah, so, well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the board. Appreciate your consideration in this matter. So, you know, as you all know, there's a presumption of validity that attaches to values that are set by the listers, but the taxpayer may present evidence for rationally inferring that the listed value is incorrect. And once the taxpayer meets that initial burden, that presumption of validity for the lister's determination disappears. So the burden of persuasion, although it remains with the taxpayer in these contested matters, may be overcome by the presentation of valid evidence to the board. And so what Skyfall would like to introduce is evidence as evidence through the information that I provided earlier today. So, you know, one way to look at, I think, where there's an error is just, you know, properties in a municipality need to be assessed commensurate with their peers. And there's obviously, you know, several ways to look at that issue, but we've shown primarily a few sold properties that were sold in and around the time of the valuation, and those properties will come, when averaged together, they come out to a price per square foot around $435 per square foot. And when looking at the Skyfall property, that comes out to $598.23 per square foot. And that's just by looking at the $3,592,400 divided by the 6,005 square feet. You come out with $598.23. And this is, you know, largely disproportionate with the other properties in town that are comparable. So, for example, we'll point to just going over those properties. 64 Tamarack, that is a property that is, you know, kind of in that neighborhood of price per square foot. However, that property is directly on the mountain. It's ski in and ski out. Looking at the 20 West Ridge Road, that property is, as you know, off of North Brookwood, which is also ski in and ski out. Those folks can basically walk, you know, 50 yards and they hit the trail and they can drop right down onto the mountain. That's a very high-end neighborhood that is, you know, directly slopeside. 92 County Road is right down the street from Gold Medal Circle. This is, you know, a very beautiful home that has kind of largely the same type of quality of construction and quality of finished work that Gold Medal Circle does. It is also not slopeside. You have to drive to actually get to the mountain. And so when we're looking at that property, which was sold very, very close to the April 1st valuation date, it's sold at $232 per square foot. So, you know, we would submit that that is really in that neighborhood of price per square foot, and that the valuation should be very close to 92 County Road. Also, when you look at 40 Founders, that's another one that is really right at the base of the mountain. And then you have, you know, kind of a very similar type of higher-end property, which is the 592 Route 100. And I understand, you know, the listers took issue with that property, saying it's you know, not close by, and it's not mountainside, and so it's right on Route 100. It's a bit of a different animal, but, you know, it is still a very high-end home, and it's in a nice location. So, you know, we believe that the evidence that we've presented demonstrates that the valuations should not be in that 592 range. If that's far, far too high. That's really for a home that would be, you know, slope side, ski in, ski out, right on the mountain. That's not this home, and this home is being assessed far in a very, very different category than its peers. And we did present that same information when we were on appeal with the carriage home, with the house portion that is right above the garage, the apartment, the accessory apartment. So, you know, it's our position that Skyfall is not being taxed consistent in line with its peers, and that valuation should be substantially revised.
Thank you. Would the listeners like to respond to the information provided by the appellant and present your supporting evidence for your evaluation of the property, please? Candy, would you please just, you're going to stand there, okay. I just want to make sure that the attorney...
You want me to stand here?
Well, I just want to make sure wherever you are that she can hear you clearly.
Oh, I'm not going to speak.
Oh, okay.
I was just handing this out.
Okay.
Everybody got
them? What's the best way? Should I talk about the comps that you provided that we disagree with, or
it's not up to us how you respond to their evidence.
Okay.
Britt, if you would just, Attorney Safar, are you able to hear the lister that's speaking?
Yes, I can. Thank you for asking.
Excellent. Thank you.
So we have a set of comps that we sent around too, and Attorney Safar will be able to circulate these with you as well. And some of the comps that we have are in line with yours. 64 Tamarack Road is on our list. 20 West Ridge Road is on our list. 92 County Road, I'll go to 40 Founders first and then revert back. 40 Founders is not on our list. That house was sold for $700,000. To Attorney Safar's point, it is close proximity to the mountain, but it is a house that was built in 1960, and the condition was truly knocked down. So it was sold for $700,000, not due to the building, but due to the lot itself of 0.77 acres. 592
Route 100. The last one was
100. It was also a house, a chalet built in 1965. I bring up these dates of builds because I think it's imperative for us evaluating a property that's newly constructed versus something that is old. Even if the older properties might have had renovations in the past. This is only 0.5 acres and only 2,352 square feet. Not, in my opinion, of when I evaluate a property in the realm of what I would use for a comp.
And then to your point of 92 County Road, which has been one of your comps for, once again, the house was built in 2003, so it's a newer build, but in my opinion, it hasn't been updated since then. So the acreage on it is similar, 5.18 to their 5.55, so similar acreage roughly. But once again, my hurdle with this property in relation to the new build is that it hasn't, you know, it's not a similar property due to the level of construction. And then I took a comp list of, I looked at in our surrounding area, anything above $2 million that I think has put Skyfall in the realm of that, with no height price to it. And I went back until 223 to give us a large enough data pool to pull from, because sales above $2 million in our area are rare. There are not a ton of them to compare to. We've had a few recently that help, but that is something that we need to pull farther back. So there's 10 sales, and I just did average price per square foot on those 10 sales, and it comes out to $503.47.
Anything else?
I would also like to point out that we were not allowed in the property. So definitely the lister's card could be off. We've never been in the property. So the lister's card is included in there for you to see what we have.
Yeah, I'll make a note of that too. The number of 590 price per square foot is being pulled off of the 6,000 square foot and change. I have in my notes, though, you know, and once again, this is to the inability to properly measure. So we have in our notes potentially square foot to the main home at 7,136. So that's just another thing to keep in mind.
I also included a list with the lister's card that shows the codes used for the different areas of the house so that you'd know what those meant.
And if my square footage is more accurate at the 17,136, and you divide that by what the town has assessed at 3592,400, you come out at 403.41 price per square foot. So right in average with like the last 10 sales.
Anything else from the listers? Attorney Safar, would you like to respond to the listers' information?
Well, I guess I would like to inquire, when was the last time either that the... I'd like to understand when the listers were in the 92 County Road home. I mean, there's testimony that the construction is inferior. I'd like to understand when were they in that home.
The person who would have been in that home would have been our assessor, who has still not come back from his injury. So I'm unsure of how to answer that question.
Okay, so you never actually went inside the home?
No.
No, Attorney Safar, the home was recently for sale, and there's a listing online, so there are pictures available of the interior of the home. Also, the quality of construction is quite clearly different than that of Skyfall. You can tell that from the exterior as well as from the pictures listed on any realtor website.
I guess I'm not understanding how you're able to tell that from photographs, because it seemed very clear to me that it was a very high-end home, and I'm not understanding how you're saying that, you know, you can clearly see that there's a difference in the construction in a home that you admit that you've never been into. And the assessor that you had at the last hearing said that he scored the Skyfall garage at a very high quality of construction merely because it was a contemporary design. That was something that he admitted at the last hearing. So, you know, I guess it's very erroneous to determine a level of a construction simply based on the contemporary nature of the design. That just, you know, with all due respect to your assessor, that just makes no sense.
Attorney, pardon me, I'd like to clarify one thing. The listers did not admit that they had not entered the home. They stated that the assessor, who may or may not have been in the home, is not present to speak to whether or not they have been. He has been in 92 County Road. So whether someone has been inside of 92 County Road to inspect it is unclear at this point. And no,
sure, I understand it because, and I would submit that because it's unclear, it's not valid to be able to rely on that testimony this evening, right? He's not here to testify. He can't tell you the BCA doesn't have the ability to determine whether somebody was in that home. The only thing we can look at are just some images online. I viewed those same images. I think, you know, those are not in evidence. At this point, we can't. There is nothing that is in the record to be able to substantiate that there is some type of superior quality of construction at Gold Medal Circle versus at 92 County Road. These are both very high-end homes. They're both very beautiful homes, and they're within a block of one another. So they're really within the same type of neighborhood. They're not slopeside. You can't ski to them. They're outside of the immediate neighborhood of the mountain, which is really the very thing that brings high value to those properties that are located in Stratton, right? You have folks from out of town that are coming to buy ski homes that want to buy these high-end homes, and they want to be able to ski in and out of their residences. And that's really, I mean, what primarily brings that high value. And when you move off of that type of a ski-in and ski-out situation, you've got two very comparable homes. They're both high-end homes, and they should be assessed similarly, and simply because this home is constructed in a contemporary style, really it's just, at the end, it's a box with a extended roof, but simply because it's in an extended or contemporary style doesn't give it any greater value, and unfortunately that is what the assessor testified to at the hearing when he was testifying about his valuation of the garage building. So I think he did effectively the same thing in terms of this residence. He looked at it and said, well, it looks kind of interesting, but that really doesn't inform the question of whether the construction is somehow superior than another building. So in any event, I think the burden of persuasion has not been carried by the listers. I think you've got plenty of comparables that are right around the time of the valuation here that, and you should assess this property in a very similar fashion to the others. So I guess I'll leave it at that.
Thank you for that. Does anyone on the board have any other questions?
No.
At this time, since this is the last hearing of the night, I would entertain a motion to adjourn to a date and time. Oh.
You need to let her know what her plan is for the inspection.
Yeah, sorry. So, Attorney Safar, our plan is to adjourn to a date and time next week when we will have an organizational meeting to set up inspection committees for the three properties we need to inspect. And then we'll schedule that inspection. And we will accomplish that within 30 days of today. So who should we reach out to inform them of our inspection appointment?
I think you have Mr. Neves' contact information. Is that correct?
We do.
Yeah, you're always free to reach out to me, of course, and I'm happy to relay, you know, any request for an inspection date to Mr. Neves, but I think you have his contact, so I'm sure he's fine with the BCA reaching out directly to him as well.
Okay.
If you wouldn't mind just copying me on that, that way I know sometimes he's out of the area and due to, you know, travel and things like that, so I could just make sure that he's been properly informed and that we're all on the same page. I would really appreciate that if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, we will try to get in touch with him so that we know when we can actually come to the property.
Yeah, that's great. And at least that way, if he wants me present, you know, I'm aware of when you're intending to do that so that we can make sure that, you know, I can be there as well.
Yeah, as long as we've got someone that'll let the site inspection committee in and tour the property, that doesn't matter who it is.
I don't have the authority to do that, just to be clear. But I would just at least make sure that Mr. Neves was aware and that he was able to communicate.
Thank you.
Okay.
At this time, I would entertain a motion to adjourn to Wednesday, September 3rd at 7 o'clock.
Second.
We are adjourned.
All in favor?
Oh, sorry.
Aye. Aye. Pull my drinks.
Motion carried.
Just in closing, I want to say that I appreciate the board allowing me to attend by phone, so thank you for that.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay.
Have a good evening.
Have a good evening.
Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, let me, I'm going to, hang on.